for the preaching of the gospel. Amen. And this will be the fifth time on the Wednesday after Christmas that my dad's got to be here. Somebody said, can you justify? Yes, I can. 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, and 2004. This will be the fifth time he's been here. And I tell you, he preached such a message last year. I've been trying all year long to scotch that thing in here until you could get back and preach to us again and give us something to go on again. Been a whole year we've been trying to get him to come back, and we've got him to come back. And you never know what the next year's changes may bring to you and yours, or to me and mine, or to all of us in general. You never know. This time next year we may all be in glory. Amen. But we are glad tonight to have a real preacher to come preach to us. So, Dad, you come up here, preach to us. Y'all pray for him as he comes.
Amen. What an opportunity, what a privilege it is to come back and be back with you wonderful people. Enjoy that singing so very much. Always good to hear the good singing you have here, and a special treat to me tonight to hear Bear Creek and my brothers sing to us also. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. I preached a couple of messages on this chapter right before Christmas, and then on Christmas Eve, we have a candlelight service, and Darren came preach that candlelight service for us. The sweetest service we have all year is our candlelight service on Christmas Eve. And you can't start one here because Darren's booked up to come to preach to us until the Lord comes, or I leave Fletcher or whatever. But it's probably the greatest message I've maybe ever heard that Darren preached that night, the sweetest message, the most complete message on the birth of Christ. And then Darren and his family, of course, and Michael and our family was all together at my house, and Darren and Gina and the kids had to come home. We got a little rower. Just a little bit rower. Okay. I'll move it up here maybe. And I went to bed about 15, 11 that night. I got in bed really early for me. And now the Lord woke me up at 12:35 that night on Christmas morning. Said, I want you to get up. I want to show you something. I like it when he does me that way. And he showed me another message. No doubt this year alone, there's probably been thousands of messages preached on Luke chapter 2. And Lord willing, next year be thousands more. Not two of them are the same. And God showed me something I'd never seen before from this chapter. And he called it the Constitution of Praise. The Constitution of Praise. Now, we're familiar with the Constitution of the United States of America. Thank God for it. The best Constitution, in my opinion, that's ever been written, not counting the one that God wrote for the children of Israel and for the nation of Israel, but outside of that, it's the best Constitution ever been written, but it's far from perfect, our Constitution of America. A few years ago, God sent me to Philadelphia to the Independence Square up there, and I spent all day in the building that's been modified, of course, where our early forefathers met for weeks and weeks, and where they framed their Constitution. I was permitted to study some of the first drafts, which were much better than some of the later drafts, and I wondered why they did not put some of the earlier writings in the final Constitution. Well, I found out there was, as always, a bunch of Satan's people there. Everybody wasn't godly. And so to get along and to go along, they compromised. The worst thing you can ever do is compromise. And that's the reason we're in the mess we're in. Constitution's great, but it leaves some interpretation, and that's why we're in trouble today. But let me tell you about the Constitution of Praise. There's no flaws in it. It's straight from the throne room of God. It's the basis of all our praise. Everything that we have and everything that will ever be is based upon, I believe, Luke chapter 2, as we read together God's Constitution of Praise. We'll begin reading with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds and said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And there came with haste and found, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made haste, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What made this even more special to me that God showed me this constitution of praise that we'll get into in a minute. Several years ago, I had went to sleep, and I had just finished reading, before I went to bed, the 148th division of the Psalms. And I don't even know if I got to sleep that night or not, but God kindly kept me awake, I believe, all night long. He didn't ask me to get up, but while I was laying in the bed, which is a miracle for me to stay awake that long, all night long He showed me and revealed to me about what He called the Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. You know God has a Hallelujah Chorus of Praise? I didn't either, but it's in the 148th division of the Psalms. And tonight, hurriedly, we'll try to see how God mixes and mingles this constitution of praise with His Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. There's seven parts to His Hallelujah Chorus of Praise as told to us in the 148th division of the Psalms. And next morning I got up after He had showed me that, and He gave me seven messages on each one of those courses of praise. And then I kept studying, and He gave me seven more messages on praising Him, different ways we praise Him. Sometimes we think if we hold our hand up, that's a good way of praise. It is. We praise Him with our mouth. We praise Him with our living. We praise Him with our giving. We praise Him with our tithes. We praise Him in many, many ways. And then He gave me six messages on what happens if we don't praise Him. He gave me seven messages on the finale of praise. All in all, God gave me 47 messages regarding Psalms 148. So I thought I knew a little about praise. Just a little. And I still just know a little about praise. But if you don't get to the basis and you don't get to the foundation and the constitution, there will be no praise. Let's read together God's constitution of praise as we just read, starting with verse 14. Three parts to it to start with. Remember, the angels left glory. They came down to earth to announce, because the greatest event that had ever happened upon planet earth had just happened. God, who had created everything, in the first chapter of Genesis, is in the beginning God, Elohim. In the Hebrew, the one that forms without a means. And what a miracle it was that God could form the universe and make man in His likeness, in His image, and do all He did. What a miracle. But I believe something even greater happened this day. That a God so big that could create everything could now transcend and become man in the form of a babe. Miracle of miracles. That David said even the heavens cannot contain Him, but yet He was able to come and be full man and full God in the form of a babe. No wonder the angel said, And this shall be a sign unto you, shepherds, a sign that you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And when they saw her, they saw God, the Creator, a babe. What a sign. But then the angel says three different parts of this praise as we'll read them together. First part was glory to God. The first part of the constitution of praise brings glory to God in the highest. This is our foundation. This is the only way you and I will ever bring praise to God if everything about us brings glory to Him. He said, no flesh shall glory in thy sight. And if you catch yourself glorying, you're not bringing praise to Him. Praise to Him is He is in the highest. His ways are above our ways. We're down here. No wonder the psalmist says, who is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that He hath visited us. And so the only praise there is, and the way it's initiated, the same way the angels showed the shepherds, was glory to God in the highest. And remember what happened? God permitted one angel to come down. I don't know which angel it was. Gabriel, remember, was the one that announced to Mary the good tidings that unto you shall be a son given. And even the book of Isaiah says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. A child was born to us, but from God's perspective, a son was given. And now Mary had the glad annunciation, and she heard that. But now one angel told the shepherds, and suddenly there was a multitude upon the Judean hillside saying in unison, glory to God in the highest. First part of the constitution of praise, that everything about us, our being, must bring praise to God. Every part of our being. I believe our smiles bring glory to God, don't you? You pass the mall or you go down the busy thoroughfares of life and people have a frown on their face. For good reasons, perhaps. They're hurting, they're sad, they're complacent and sick. A lot of reasons. But did you ever think what a smile could do? Just smile. They'll look at you kindly funny, then they'll kindly smile back. Everything in their life should be bringing glory and honor to God. Second of all, look at the gift He gave to man. He says, peace on earth. A gift to man. There is no peace without Him. Remember what He told His disciples? After His disciples, 11 of them or 10 of them were gathered together in one room, door shut, window shut. One wasn't there. One went out and hung himself because he was a devil. But suddenly Jesus was in the midst. No windows were open. No door was open. The roof wasn't taken off. He just came. And the first words He spoke was, peace be unto you. He is the gift to earth. He is peace. And without Him, there is no peace. And when He departed that day, the last words He spoke was, peace be unto you. But then the second time He appeared to him, Thomas was there also. And the first words He spoke was, peace be unto you. Or are we getting the message that God is peace to earth? The gift to us is peace. Peace because He is our peace. The Prince of Peace. And then He departed and He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you, but my peace. So first of all, in the Constitution, there is a glory to God, and there is a gift to earth. It is Jesus Christ who is our peace. But notice thirdly. Thirdly, we see goodwill toward men. That God says you don't deserve it. In the midst of darkness, man was in darkness and annihilation. God had not spoken to man in hundreds of years as recorded. He may have spoken, but it wasn't recorded. There was no biblical after Malachi for all these hundreds of years. And suddenly, glory to God in the highest. And a gift to earth, myself, my peace. But then in this particular part, he says, goodwill toward men. There was nothing we could do to bring him praise until he came. Which brings us back to the 148th division of the Psalms. Would you turn with me, please, to that beautiful chapter? And let's look just for a minute at the goodwill God brought to earth. Now, there are seven parts to the Hallelujah course of praise. It begins in the third heaven where God dwells. Of course, for God, that's the first heaven because everything initiates with Him. And the second heaven is where the sun and the moon and the planets are. And the third heaven from Him would be the air where the birds fly and the snow flakes fall and the lightning flashes. From us, we're down here, and we look up and say the first heaven is where the birds fly, the second heaven is where the moon and the planets, the third heaven is where God is. It's all a matter of perspective. But at the same time, we're going to read, and God starts with Himself, of course, because glory to God in the highest. In the first verse, He starts with the first chorus of praise. Let's read it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the highest. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. See, the first part of the God's hallelujah course of praise is in heaven. And remember what we're told in the book of Isaiah? In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then we saw that the seraphims were going around the throne of God on a continual basis crying, holy, holy, holy. Could I submit to you that in heaven, right now, all the angels are praising God and every one of them are in tune. God hears everyone. He sees every flutter. He understands the vocabulary. But then God also has a second part. Come down to the second heaven with me, please, and look at the third verse. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. The book of Job says, when the morning stars sang together. And even scientists say that there is a noise about each star. Now, there are billions times the billions of stars. And God's the creator of everyone. And everyone is bringing praise to Him. And everyone has a different color. To us, we look up and the star is a star is a star. But the star is a burning ball of gas and they all have different color. Imagine the God that hears all the angels and looks down and as He directs. Now, God is not only the composer. I always admired composers. But He's also the conductor. The one that has written the script, and now He makes sure it's all in tune. As all the stars and all the planets, they all bring glory to Him. We come down to the third part of God's hallelujah course of praise, and we see that will be in verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling His word. I want to spend just a little time on this one. We don't know a lot about the stars and the planets, just a little bit. But we are a little bit familiar with the snowflakes that fly and the winds that howl and the lightning that flashes. And now I want to deal with the first word. It says far. In the Hebrew, that's esh, E-S-H. And the first time God uses that was in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24. When God rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, that same Hebrew word. And I've never seen it before, because you go over to Sodom, or where it used to be there in Jordan, and you see the brimstone, but it says brimstone and fire. And it translates a heavenly fire. And then the second time He uses that word would be when Elijah was up on top of Mount Carmel. Remember the story? And all the prophets of Baal could not bring fire from their gods. But God rained fire down upon the sacrifice and consumed the sacrifice and the rock and the dust and the water. The word esh, far. And then we're told it also in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 17 that when Moses was out holding his rod toward heaven and God brought another plague upon Egypt, and God rained far, and He rained a great hail upon the Egyptians, a grievous hail, and far ran across the face of the earth. Same Hebrew word. Now hold that thought for a minute, because there are seven kinds of lightning. Seven kinds of lightning. God is complete in His number, and there is a lightning that's just in the cloud. Sometimes you see just a flash. Now, I'm afraid of the lightning, but God knows where I am. And God controls the lightning strokes. And remember, everyone brings Him praise, honor, and glory. Let's go through it just a little bit. In the clouds, we don't have to worry about that because that's just a lightning stroke within that massive cloud. But then there's sheet lightning, which goes from cloud to cloud or from cloud to air. Then there is anvil lightning, which goes from cloud to ground. And then he specializes. There are lightnings that just makes your eyes dance. There's streak lightning, and that's that branch of lightning that goes out in two or three different streaks. There's ribbon lightning. And then there is bead lightning, where a lightning flashes, and then after it's over, you see another little bead here and there. But then this last one I've never seen. Some of you may have. It's not very common. Ball lightning. Like that lightning God created when Moses held the rod up in Egypt's land, and great balls of fire or lightning just travel. Ball lightning just comes and travels in large balls right horizontal to the surface. Anybody ever seen ball lightning? I haven't. It's very rare. But you see, God sees every lightning stroke. It's estimated upon planet Earth every second that there is at least 5,000 to 50,000 strokes of lightning every second. Even now, somewhere. God sees everyone. Can you imagine? I'm amazed just to stop and just when lightning starts flashing. Zip, zip, zip. Wow. Let's tell about some benefits of lightning. Some lightning strokes have 100 million volts of electricity in one single lightning stroke. And there's enough current, at least 200,000 amps of current. Multiply that together, and that's a lot of old amps that God's got a lot of energy out there. But there's a lot of benefits about lightning. We hear a lot about ozone depletion, how things that man's made depletes the ozone layer, which lets the radiation from the sun come in and harm plants and humans and has a lot of ill effects on it. Well, God's got a remedy for it. Don't fear about it. See, every time a lightning stroke comes, it doesn't deplete, but it goes back and adds ozone to the air. When lightning comes around New York City and those great islands up there and over the ocean, in one lightning storm, there's enough ozone creation to take care of all the oxygen depleting, the ozone depletion in the United States all day long. God's got it all figured out. He knew man was going to mess it up. You see, the last part of the course of praise is man, and we're bad at it, King. Now, the first three parts are in tune, and all the rest of them are in tune, but we're bad out of tune. But now, we're in a chapter in Luke chapter 2 where it says God has initiated, and he's getting man back in tune because of the birth of his son. And now, not only does lightning add to the ozone, but it does something else. If you're a farmer, fertilizer is pretty expensive. And all of us got to eat, so the crops that grow is going to be fertilizer. And God's got a way with every stroke of lightning. Not only does it add to the ozone layer, but it breaks down the oxygen and the nitrogen and makes ammonia and nitrogen oxide. And when the raindrops come, it puts nitrogen and ammonia on the earth. And scientists estimate 200 billion pounds a year produced by lightnings that flash. Isn't God good? God not only gives his gift to planet Earth, but a greater gift has been given because Christ Jesus is a gift to us. Why was he a gift to us? Because we were messing up God's hallelujah course of praise. And God says, because of Jesus and your belief in him, man can get back in tune. Let's go hurriedly through the other hallelujah parts of course of praise. And we see verse number 8, not only the lightning, but the hail. And the snow and the vapors and the stormy wind. And God sees every lightning stroke, every snowflake. Everything is happening across the whole universe brings God glory. The fourth one would be in verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. I was reading the other day. You know the ocean is a lot of water down there and it's very deep. And scientists make a stab at trying to give a name and give details for all the animals of the life and all the sea animals. And every year they find hundreds and thousands of more sea creatures than they ever knew. And guess what? For every one man's found, there's probably 10 he hasn't found. But God created them all. They all bring him glory and honor and praise. Dragons and all deeps bring God's praise.
He sees to the deepest part of the ocean. And every sea creature brings God praise. Have you ever watched some of the fish in the ocean, some of the dolphins, how they go and they leap and they go and then they make a little noise and God, I believe, gives a little wave to them. You ever watch the humpback whale? Humpback whale can't stay down all that long. He goes down and he goes down fishing. He gets him a bunch of fish. And then he comes up for air. And he stays up a little bit. And then as he goes back down, that big old tail goes flip. And God sees everyone. Just a big old wave to God. Thank you, God, for being so good to me. You see, all the animal life and all the sea life are in tune. And all the stars and the plants are in tune. And the angels are in tune. And all the snowflakes and all the atmosphere is in tune. But man was not in tune until Christ came. And now we can be in tune. But let's keep reading. The fifth part of his hallelujah chorus of praise is found in verse 9. Mountains and all trees, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Every tree that blooms, every flower that blossoms. Not only does he see them and it brings him glory. Have you ever been in a great big old flower patch? You just, ooh, you're struck at all the beauty of it and the aroma of it. Well, that's just one little old flower patch. What about being where God's at? He sees every flower and every blossom. And as they twirl in the wind, and they're all in tune, bringing him honor and glory. Sixthly, verse 10, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Did you ever watch a bunch of geese fly over? Isn't that glory? I'll tell you something if you won't tell nobody on me. Sandra and I were going last year sometime to see our youngest son Michael, and it was early in the morning, and I got off the interstate on I-20 to get some coffee, and I got back on the interstate, and there was a flock of geese flying overhead, and I said, Sandra, I don't know what to make about that flock of geese. They're flying in the wrong direction. Geese supposed to go in the wintertime, they're supposed to go north or south, and then the summertime, they go back north, and they're going the wrong direction. And I couldn't hardly believe it. And I kept driving a little ways, and I saw a sign that says, Columbia, 30 miles. I said, uh-oh. I'm going in the wrong direction. I got back on the right interstate, but I'm going wrong. Instead of going east, I'm going west. Hey, God's geese know the direction. I was in Texas one time, the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Not one flock of geese, but it's four from horizon to horizon. You couldn't even count the number of flocks of geese and hundreds in each flock. And their little wings doing this, honk, 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 and God sees them, every one. And all the birds that fly and all the animals that breathe. Isn't it amazing that God has got all his six parts so far of his creation in praise? I want to try something tonight, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. Luke, would you do me a favor, old buddy? Where are you at? Luke, would you come up here and do Papa a favor? Come up here a minute. He wouldn't do that. I might embarrass him. Okay, you won't be too embarrassed. Come up here and do me a favor. Do you play a bass guitar very good? Yeah.
All I can do is pick it up and lay it down.
Would you try tonight? Would you play it for the first time? And we know you. Would the piano please come and play some wonderful song? I want to show you how bad out of tune sounds. Now, you're only going to have to listen to it for about 5 seconds. But imagine God that listens to man out of tune when all his other creations are in tune. No wonder the angels were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We're out of tune and couldn't get back in tune. Play something softly and tenderly, whatever God puts on your heart. Thank you. that's about all we can stand. Thank you. You get the message. Man's out of tune. Let's keep reading. He wants us to be in tune. Verse 11 says, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. What's their job? Praise the name of the Lord. Why? For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. What was the first message the angels proclaimed? Glory to God. What's their job? Bring glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And you and I must be at peace with God, but we couldn't be at peace with God until the Prince of Peace came. And we couldn't show goodwill to God nor to each other until he came. Not only did he come to live, but he came to die. Sacrificial death. We saw God's part in the first part of his initiation of the foundation or the creation of the ability to praise him. But I want to go back to Luke, and as we examine the constitution of praise, now man's got an opportunity. The Prince of Peace is given. The shepherds have heard. They know what must be performed. If they must know, they have to give glory to God. They have to be able to receive that peace. They have to be able to proclaim his name. They have to be able to receive the gift. How many of us this year were given the gift at Christmas? Someone had worked hard and had spent time and money. And they came and said, here's your gift. Wouldn't it have been awful if we'd have said, don't want it, keep it, want anything to do with that gift? No, we gladly receive the gift. Let's see what man, the shepherds, and that is us also, must do to receive the gift. Third part of the constitution of praise is graciously receive what God has offered. What has he offered? Us the ability to give him glory. He has offered us the ability to receive a gift of peace. He has given us the ability to be able to say, thank you, Father. Or we could reject him like most of the world has. Let's see what the shepherds did. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They graciously received. They didn't say, let's go inquire, it may be true. They said, let us now go and see. We know it's true because it brings glory to God. It brings peace on earth. It's the gift of God to men, and it's God's goodwill to men. And they said, we will receive it. We won't dilly around. We ran, and we saw the Christ child graciously received. Once you graciously receive, there's something else that man must do. Let's look at that. That would be the fifth part of God's constitution of praise. The glad tidings that we have received must be told. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. How could we receive such a great gift? How could we receive such a wonderful peace? How could we receive the Prince of Peace and all the glory that he has given us and receive it graciously and not go out and gladly tell it? You just can't do it. They said, it's too big. We will go out and they will make known abroad. They did not go back to their foe, back to the place where they had been keeping the sheep. No. They had sheep and it was important. But you see, the great shepherd had just visited his sheep. Isaiah says that the sheep have gone astray. And they were all without a shepherd. And that was you, that was I. But the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the good shepherd came for his sheep. And they must make it known gladly. I am so amazed that people say, well, I guess I'll have to go to church again. Or I know it's hard to witness or it's hard to go visit. But no, the shepherd said, we'll gladly do it. Why? Because they graciously received. And now they must go gladly tell. You and I also, you see, the only way you're going to praise God is to gladly tell. You see, you don't have a choice. There are six different constitutions. You can't pick and choose. It starts with glory to God. It starts with the gift that he gives, gift of peace, gift of earth. It proceeds that God has given us glad tidings of great joy. And then we graciously receive it, and we must gladly tell it. And if we lack any of those so far, we aren't praising God. You may raise your hand. You may raise your voice. But you see, God is the one doing the judges. And we must, with all our heart, give him praise. But there's a sixth one, and it's very important. Let's look to it together. The sixth one would be glorifying God. It began with glory to God. It ends with glorifying God. And all in between is receiving and loving and giving. Let's read together in the last verse that we read. Verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things. I like that word all. If you search in your Bibles, the word all is used countless number of times. And the only interpretation you can ever make out of it, it always means all. It is never interpreted anything else but all. Did you notice the context of the verse? Glorifying God for all things. We've got to learn to glorify God when things aren't going as planned. We have to learn to glorify God when we're laying flat on our back and sick. We have to be able to glorify God when he takes our children or our parents die or brothers and sisters die. You see, they were glorifying God in all things. Did not Romans say, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord? And God taught me many years ago, 9 years ago, laying on my bed, 35 days in the hospital, that I could glorify him in all things and be thankful. I was sick, I was dying, but God taught me I can bring glory to him and glorify him in my sickness and in my living, in my life. Glorifying God and praising him for all the things. God's not done us right, folks. Remember three things if you don't remember anything else out of the message tonight. God hath done right. God is doing right. And God will do right. And no matter what he does, it's right. And my job is to glorify him. Glory to God in the highest. The gifts he gave to earth. The good, glad tidings. Graciously receive all he's got for me. Gladly proclaim it, and in the midst, glorifying him. Not just with my hands, but with my life, with my living, with my attitude. You know, our attitude that we have is so important. I like to be able to adjust a lot of attitudes of people I've met, wouldn't you? Somebody could get rich doing it if you could learn. All some people need just a good attitude adjustment. And the only way they'll ever get it is by receiving the precious gift. The gift that he gave himself. And if we gladly receive it, we tell the glad tidings and we glorify him in all things that happens along the way, then we're praising God the way he wants us to praise him. Okay.
I sure don't want my life to sound like that. Amen. I mean, certainly we've seen things in our life that just stick out like a sore thumb. And that sounded like what I think a sore thumb would sound like. Amen. Ooh, that was not right. And I'll say to you that when our lives don't line up with the Word of God and we're not praising him, that's exactly how we sound to him. I wonder what sound we as a church make together. Hear this great choir sing, wonderful harmony. Hear this quartet of folks over here singing, wonderful harmony. But if one person goes astray and gets out of context there, what is it going to sound like to everybody else? It can be a mess. Stand with me tonight. Heads bowed, nobody looking. Short and sweet, right to the point. Preacher, I'm afraid that my life at certain times has sounded like what I heard a few minutes ago. I'm saved, member at such and such church. I ought to be glorifying God, but instead I sounded like what a sore thumb would sound like. Ashamed of that. And the only thing I can do is let the Lord tune me and train me to praise Him. Preached a message in this church right about Thanksgiving time. For some of you that were here, you'll remember the message. Along the lines of praise, what praise is. Praise to God is not necessarily thanks. You watch it. Praising Him is being able to praise Him for who He is. Thanking Him is thanking Him for what He's done. I guarantee you, when you live your life to start saying, I'm going to praise Him, you'll go right into thanking Him because of what He's done rather than praising Him for who He is. And I have yet to spend time in any church and hear people say, I want to stand up and praise the Lord. And they'll go right to thanking Him and spend no time on praising Him. And I wonder, do you have that problem? Have you trained yourself when you get down to your bedside? Say, Lord, tonight I just want to praise You. And the first thing you'll start doing is thanking Him for this and that and the other. But you didn't spend any time praising Him. Maybe there's somebody here to say, Preacher, well, raise my hand. We're going to pray together. Raise my hand. Preacher, I want to learn to praise Him like I should. One, two, three, all over the house. Hands are going up everywhere. You can put them right back down. Learn to praise Him. Our fathers, we bow our head before You this evening. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the message that it is we've heard tonight. Surely, God, and truly, we can certainly look and see how all other things and aspects of all creation are certainly in tune and in harmony with You and are praising You. But God, we as mankind have certainly failed You. Father, we fail to praise You. Many times we even fail to thank You. Lord, we're quick to judge, quick to complain, quick to murmur, but we're not quick to praise You like we should. God, we are sorry for that. Lord, we pray tonight, God, that You would re-educate us, train us, teach us, and pray, God, tonight that the very tuning that we need would start tonight. Father, when I listen to that bass guitar being played, it was in tune, had someone been able to have known how to play it. God, certainly, my spirit has been saved. It should be in tune with You because You've saved my wretched soul. Yet somehow my old flesh wants to come in between serving You like I should. And I pray, God, You'd forgive us tonight. And I pray, God, we'd be an instrument for honor, an instrument, God, to be able to stand up for the glory of God. And I pray tonight, God, You'd help us to learn how to praise You and use our testimony that You've given us for Your glory. God, for these favors, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.